thank you for supporting our annual fundraising campaign. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for helping us rise higher and reach further.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca. Hey, you're listening. Should I say I'm Jan Arden?
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Hello and welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy at the Church of Stop Shopping in New York. All the living things have thoughts, don't they? All living things have lots of questions. From molecules to orangutans to rain clouds, all things are talking about how they feel and how amazing it all is. Why am I alive like this? What is life? Cheetahs must wonder about running. Frigate birds soaring over the tops of ocean storms in some way reflect from those heights. The earth is entirely alive. All living beings are yearning for the answer from every other living thing and the sound of all the whys. Whys. Why? Fills the swamps and alpine meadows and miles of dazzling coral, and a lonely kid kicks a tin can along a hot, windy road on the edge of New Orleans, and he wonders what life is, too. When we human beings pierce deep into this sound of capturing trees and oil and whales, we attract a flood of shouts and whispers, painful operas, and all-night drumming and laughing. When we try to stop the big question, then the question is asked by all the life around us, 100 times louder, in deafening confusion, cities in flames, storms 1,000 miles wide. And we are trapped on a roof of our house, hoping for a helicopter, while the river is wondering about life and wants us to join in the singing of the song.
Has begun. Is this some kind of war? sea won't say a word. The weatherman's up for it. Now it has begun. The storm has finally come. My neighbor's in the street. It rushes like a stream. You're caught in it waist deep. What an energized retreat. Do you think you can compete? The hero's tragedy. Now it has begun. The storm has finally come. The drowning and the dead. Now it has begun. My breath is out of reach. Death makes its final speech. Did the storm come from me? Did the storm come from me? Now I know the truth. The waves break on the roof. Where is my higher ground? It's down there with my town. I'm praying round and round. Am I living to be found? A body in the sound. Round, round and round. Now it has begun. The storm has finally come. And the sea begins to speak. And she says, face me. Now it has begun. Take me to the deep. Take me to the deep. Take me to the deep.
Thank you.
Stand tall, cause love never dead, it conquer all. Mama pray the picnic them all tight. Darkness come, but we find the light. From the countryside to Kingston, we sing it loud. Jamaica strong, we rise again. From the flood, from the pain. One love, one blood, one name, we rebuild again, we no shame. Jamaica strong, my people brave. God and love bring back the sun. Neighbor to neighbor, we lend we hand. Help the youth them fi understand. We can't survive if we no unite. All together, us bring the light. We send prayers from far into yard. We are one world, one heart, one God. From Antigua to Portland Sound, we rise again. We are God bless grown Jamaica strong. We rise again. From the pain, one love, one heart, one flame. We build again, we call your name. Jamaica strong, we never gone. We live through the night till a bright new dawn. We pray, we heal, we move as one. Jamaica strong, Father guide with you to storm. Keep the people safe and warm. Strong, we rise again. Jamaica strong, we rise again. From the flood, from the pain. One love, one heart, one flame. We build again, we call your name. Jamaica, Jamaica, you're tough, many one people.
Addictions break me down, and in my mind it takes me, though it takes up all my time. The contradictions break me down until I'm gone from my mind. It takes me, though it takes up all my time. The contradictions break me. Things that I left so far behind. And in my mind it takes me, though it takes up all my time. The contradictions break me down. And in my mind it takes me, though it takes up all my time. The contradictions break me down. In my mind. Thank you.
from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. Climate-related disasters forcibly displaced 250 million people globally over the past decade, the equivalent of 70,000 people every day, according to a report by the UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR. Floods, storms, drought, and extreme heat are among the weather conditions driving conflict and displacement, alongside slow-onset disasters such as desertification, rising sea levels, and ecosystem destruction, which are threatening food and water security. In mid-2025, 117 million people were displaced by war, violence, and persecution, a dire human rights crisis that the climate emergency is rapidly intensifying. The UNHCR said the climate crisis was a risk multiplier that exposed and compounded existing inequalities and injustices, including the impact of conflict, violence, and forced displacement within and across borders. In Death Valley's relentless heat, Titostromia oblongifolia, a small green unassuming bush, accelerates its growth during extreme heat. Michigan State University scientists discovered that the plant can quickly adjust its photosynthetic machinery to endure extreme temperatures that would halt most species. Its cells reorganize, its genes switch on protective functions, and it even reshapes its chloroplasts to keep producing energy. It is thought to be the most heat-tolerant plant ever documented. During a severe drought and heat wave in 2023, Amazonian lakes reached their highest recorded temperatures. Water temperatures in some areas climbed to an astonishing 105.8 degrees Fahrenheit and resulted in the deaths of thousands of aquatic animals, including dozens of river dolphins. In some lakes, there were large daily temperature swings of up to 23.4 degrees, which placed extreme thermal stress on fish and other aquatic animals. High solar radiation, extremely low water depth, murky water, which absorbed rather than reflected sunlight, and low wind speeds combined to heat the water. And unfortunately, the heat reached all the way to the bottom, so dolphins and fish could not escape it. In the Gulf of California, a pod of orcas known as Moctezuma's pod has developed a chillingly precise technique for hunting young great white sharks. They flip them upside down, paralyze them, and extract their nutrient-rich livers. The behavior, filmed and documented by marine biologists, reveals a level of intelligence and social learning that suggests cultural transmission of hunting tactics among orcas. The group may be exploiting shifts in ocean temperatures that have changed shark nursery zones. These warmer waters could be pushing inexperienced juveniles into new regions where the orcas can more easily ambush them. Scientists say the behavior hints that orcas may target white sharks more frequently than once thought. A study by researchers at Queen Mary University of London has found that humans have a form of remote touch, or the ability to sense objects without direct contact. Human touch is typically understood as a proximal sense, limited to what we physically touch. Recent findings in animal sensory systems have challenged this view. Certain shorebirds, such as sandpipers and plovers, use a form of remote touch to detect prey hidden beneath the sand. Remote touch allows the detection of objects buried under granular materials through subtle mechanical cues transmitted through the medium when a moving pressure is applied nearby. In this study, participants moved their fingers gently through sand to locate a hidden cube before physically touching it. Remarkably, the results revealed a comparable ability to that seen in shorebirds, despite humans lacking the specialized beak structures that enable this sense in birds. The study found that human hands are remarkably sensitive, detecting the presence of buried objects by perceiving minute displacements in the sand surrounding them. Sediment analysis and drone photography of the iconic South American monument of Monte Sierpe, also known as Band of Holes, suggests that this mysterious landscape was part of an indigenous system of accounting and exchange. Stretching 1.5 kilometers across the Pisco Valley of the southern Peruvian Andes, Monte Sierpe is a large row of approximately 5,200 precisely aligned holes, 1 to 2 meters wide and less than 1 meter deep, organized into sections or blocks. Researchers have microbotanical evidence of plant remains in the holes, including crops such as maize and the wild plants traditionally used for making baskets. These data support the hypothesis that during pre-Hispanic times, local groups periodically lined the holes with plant materials and deposited goods inside them, using woven baskets or bundles for transport. Perhaps most intriguing is the aerial imagery, which indicates numerical patterns in the layout of the holes. Combined with the monument's segmented organization, it mirrors quipus, Inca counting devices made from knotted strings. This could indicate that the band of holes constituted a monumental system of accounting during the Inca period. Importantly, it is strategically located between two Inca administrative sites and near the intersection of a network of pre-Hispanic roads. It is positioned in a transitional ecological zone between the highlands and lower coastal plain, a space where groups from both regions would have met and exchanged goods. After examining the evolutionary history of fungi, an international group of scientists has concluded that these organisms first appeared between 900 million and 1.4 billion years ago, far earlier than scientists had believed. This suggests that fungi were thriving on Earth hundreds of millions of years before plants began to grow. The traditional view of early Earth portrays a barren planet until plants appeared about 500 million years ago. This new study challenges that idea. The new evidence suggests that fungi had already been active for hundreds of millions of years, interacting with early life forms and transforming the landscape. And now, the sounds of extinction. African hornbills. With an alarming rise in the international trade of African hornbills, their wild populations are plummeting. All 32 known species of African hornbills are currently threatened by illegal hunting and the wildlife trade. The birds are sold both dead and alive, online and offline. Africa is home to half of the world's 64 known hornbill species. They are distributed across the continent, with forest-dwelling species concentrated in the west and central regions. They are a keystone species critical to regenerating forests because they disperse seeds widely. For example, just two species of hornbills in Cameroon, the black-casked hornbill and the white-thighed hornbill, spread the seeds of one quarter of tree species across hundreds of kilometers. They are often called the farmers of the forest. These birds are long-lived, surviving 15 to 20 years in the wild, and they reproduce slowly, raising just one chick a year, so populations don't easily recover. Most hornbill species pair for life. The male plays a vital parental role by providing food for the female, who seals herself in a tree cavity with a narrow slit while raising her young chick. If the male dies during this period, it is a death sentence for the female and the chick. Their horns are used decoratively as ivory once was, and they are also thought to ward off bad spirits. The international trade in African hornbills is currently unregulated, unlike that of their Asian counterparts. But a proposal to control this trade is on the agenda at the upcoming meeting of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, which conservationists say is the first step to rein in the unsustainable trade, and hear the sound of African hornbills. In
Earth is our government. Earth is our God. Earth is our economy. Earth is our church. We listen to Earth, and then we go back to the old institutions. We go to the president and the generals and the holy fathers and the doctors of thinking, and we get no response. It is all the commandments. It is common sense. It is where compassion comes from. We put personalities on Mount Olympus to represent it. We pray to the watery fire that creates a child inside our loved one. We dance all night. Now Earth is our only celebrity. Earth is the only famous being that matters at all. Human history was made triumphing over Earth. Now Earth makes history. And Reverend Billy here. I just want to thank Savitri D., the reporter of the Earth. Jason Candler, our producer and editor. Thank you, Jason. Jason is a sound man at the United Nations, and his people are down in Belém, Brazil, at COP30. Secretary General Guterres is not very happy with some of the developments there, but of course, there are thousands of people from the gas and oil industry there. Thousands of the poisoners are there. And he's got to struggle to get through to the truth in the midst of these special interest people pouring in to defend their millions of dollars, to defend their billionaires. Let's just say it straight here. To defend their billionaires, to work for their billionaires. But we're praying for the people in Belém and the people pouring in from the Amazon to be there. The indigenous mothers who run fishing collectives in Indonesia. All of you, we're with you. And we're with the people in Kingstown, the people in Jamaica, as you survive the climate change's fierce, monstrous storm. You know, just the other day, Leonard Peltier told us those storms are Mother Earth communicating with us. It's reality, it's not virtuality, it's not media. And I'm sorry, some of the touching has to be done in that way. But 100,000 people here in New York just over the last weeks had 2 million conversations looking directly into the eyes of people who open their doors, responding to the knock on the door, and talking about the food and the rent and telling stories and laughing. And that turned out to be a better contact, more fierce, more direct, better media than the media. Than the veil of virtuality that the billionaires place over everything. They're making a second planet. They're making us give them money to just be in our actual life. That's what they want to do. I don't think they will succeed. I think in Kingston Town, in Belém, and here in New York, and all over the world, we're finding a way to reach each other. Earthalluja. To touch, to sense, to storytell, to sing together. Everybody now, give me an Earthalluja!